Well, flower communion, I love it so much. It seems like no matter how long I've lived here and no matter how many gardens I see and flower communions I see, I'm always encountering some flowers I never saw before. At least I don't remember them. Something I wanted to point out today is that flowers come in a lot of different shapes. Okay. That might sound obvious, but why do they come in so many different shapes? Well, the shape of a flower is very, very important to its pollination. And its pollination is absolutely crucial because without that, no new plants. Flowers are how the plant makes new baby plants. And every flowering plant has, well, as biologists, botanists, people who study plants, call them male and female parts of the flower. The anther, the male part, makes pollen, and the pollen, one way or another, has to get to the, oh, I always forget what it's called. What? No botanist is going to call out and tell me? Stigma. I was thinking sigma, and I thought that's a little weird. Stigma is also a little weird, but that's the word for the female part of the flower. Now, some flowers have male and female parts right there in the same flower, oftentimes. Sometimes they're in, the male is in some flowers on one plant, on the plant, and other flowers on the same plant have the stigma, the female part that needs to receive the pollen if it's going to make fruit and seeds and have a new generation of that plant. And sometimes they're on completely different plants of the same species. And the pollinators have to travel from one plant all the way to another. Could be, you know, halfway across town sometimes. So who are the pollinators? Well, you probably know what some of the things are that pollinate flowers, right? Megan just went like this. Bees. So I knew it was something with wings. Bees. We're doing sound effects. And others? Hummingbirds. Big ones around here, right? Butterflies. All sorts of insects, especially flying insects. Moths, flies. Sometimes other animals, bigger animals besides birds. Sometimes even people. If people are trying to create a particular species, particularly, or they just know that this one needs a little help in pollination, people will hand pollinate. They'll take a little brush and move the pollen to the stigma. So these shapes of the flowers are about what pollinates it. So you've got some that are pretty wide open, at least once they've totally bloomed. Like roses, and you see the center of the rose where all that good stuff is, kind of anything can land on that. Bees, ants even can crawl over, and so on. And then you've got other kinds that take a little persistence to get inside the flower. They're kind of trumpet-shaped or bell-shaped or like this. Something's got to be able to crawl on in there. Maybe a bee or, you know, something with a very long proboscis or beak, like a butterfly. If you ever catch a butterfly or moth in the act, it's really cool. They've got this long, long sort of tongue called a proboscis that unrolls. I can't do it. I have a very short tongue, being a human. But they have a long tongue, and so they can land on the outside of the flower and put their tongue all the way down to the bottom. Now they're just looking for nectar, you know, they're not out to pollinate the flower, but they do it at the same time, which is exactly what the flower needs. So they get their nectar, they go on, and they move that pollen elsewhere on the plant. And sometimes they're so long, the flowers are so long that they need something like a hummingbird, right? With its, I've got these trumpet flowers in my. These trumpet vines in my yard. Oh, and the hummingbirds love them. And they can get that long, long beak. They can hover there and get that long beak right to the bottom. And while they're eating up that yummy, yummy nectar, they're pollinating the plant. And so we get more trumpet vines, which is a better world with more trumpet vines, if you ask me. So this is called coevolution. The fact that plants gradually, over millions of years, took a particular shape for the kinds of pollinators that were available to them, and vice versa. The kinds of pollinators that worked for those plants thrive in that area and make more and more and more of them, so that each species is evolving to adjust to the other, which is why it's great to plant native plants like we do here in this garden, because these are plants that evolved here over millions of years with the insects and hummingbirds and other pollinators that evolved here. They influenced each other, and so they're just made for each other. Coevolution. I think we do that too, you know? We shape one another. Now, I said flowers have one purpose. That's all these different shapes and colors and smells. Colors, whether they've got lots and lots of little flowers together or they're one super spectacular flower on the end of each stem. Many, many different shapes. All of that is for one purpose. It is to make new plants of that species. That's what flowers are for. However they look, they're all there for the same reason. And so when I look at all these different shapes, I'm thinking about us, those of us who brought these flowers, those of us who will take a flower away in a little while. We also, of course, look at us, come in all these different shapes and sizes and colors, and it's not smells, I suppose. And I don't just mean on the outside. I mean the way we are inside, the kinds of thoughts we think, and the gifts we have, thinking of my recent sermon, or the things that we're interested in and the ways that we talk and all the things that we love to do and want to learn, those are all different. But we all have the same purpose. Our purpose in this life is to love and be loved. Love each other, absolutely. But also love all the other species. Love this world. Love life itself. And to receive the love. And just like Reverend Kat was saying about Norbert Chopek, who created this flower communion, when I say love, I don't just mean the feeling, as wonderful as that is, to look at the face of somebody you love or to walk out in a place that you love. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. And when somebody looks at you that way and you know that they love you too. But love is also about the actions that we take. Chopek took action to bring more love into the world, even when he was in a concentration camp and it was so hard to find love or hope or beauty. That was what his love was like. That's our purpose. Whatever shapes we have, that's what we're here for, to love and to be loved. I hope you feel some of that love flowing out of you and flowing in when in a little while we give and receive these flowers.